So not only do we get to hear about their ministry, but we get to receive and be blessed by the word as preached by Brother Mike. And I'm excited because God has coordinated this message for this time and this place. The songs that we sang this morning are just a perfect fit for what his theme is and his message title. And I didn't know what he was preaching on. So I believe that God has this message for you at this time, in this place, and I'm excited to hear it. So, Brother Mike.
Welcome.
Oops. There we go. I hold the microphone as close as I can to the music stand so you hear all the creaks and pops that it makes. Well, guys, so I shared a little bit about our story. Yes, I'm that crazy guy that believes God spoke to him. That's right. We minister in Germany, and I shared a little bit about what we do in Germany, but I didn't really give you the idea of Germany, paint the picture of Germany. And so just to give you an example, we started our ministry in the city of Dresden, which is in eastern Germany. Dresden is a city of 500,000 people. But if you took every single Bible-believing church in the entire city and you brought them together, you'd only have about 2,000 people. That's less than one half of 1% of the population that even attends a Bible-believing church. In that same part of East Germany, 87% of the population say that they're atheists. 87% don't believe that God exists. And so when I go there and when I tell our story, people ask us all the time, what are you doing here? And, you know, sometimes they can kind of con my story out of me. And I tell them, you know, I really believe the Lord spoke to me and told us to come here. And they instantly look at me like I'm crazy. But here's the thing, just because something's crazy doesn't mean it's not true. Are you with me? And so, you know, I want to talk to you today about this God who humbles himself so much that he would bring himself low enough that he would come and talk to people like you and I. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to the deepest pieces of our hearts. And the Bible is all about God and this love that he has for us. And I want to talk about him today, and I want to talk about his love today. Now, the love of God is this huge theme, and I hope to be able to do it just the slightest bit of justice today. Now, I'm going to ask you in advance to excuse the illustration I'm about to use. It's not proper for church, okay? But you guys seem pretty relaxed. We're in a gymnasium, right? So we're good to go. I'm not in a church. I'm in a gymnasium where the church meets. So we're good. So just by comparison, so nobody gets offended, let's say I wanted to talk about the subject of drug addiction. I could address it from two perspectives, or someone could address it from two perspectives. They could come from the third-person perspective. You know, it could bring in a doctor or a PhD or a professor or somebody who studied drug addictions, who could tell you about the chemical compositions and the effects on the body and all those sorts of things. And that's one perspective. And the other person that you could talk to about drug addiction is from the first-person perspective, somebody that's been hooked on drugs, somebody that knows what it does to their body, somebody that knows what it does to their mind, somebody that knows what it does to their spirit. Well, I'm here today to talk to you about the love of God from that first-person perspective, from that addict perspective, because I'm hooked on Jesus. You know, but the big difference in that, of course, is, again, forgive me the comparison between the love of God and drugs. God's love isn't a drug. It doesn't have any of the negative side effects. It's all positive. It's all good. You know, unfortunately, I've watched from an all-too-close perspective too many friends, too many family members who've destroyed their bodies and who've allowed their joy to be robbed from them and have been transformed from healthy, good-looking people into just shells of them former selves. And yet on the flip side, I encounter some of those addicts, I encounter so many of those other people who then get to experience the transforming love of God that is absolutely like the opposite of a normal addiction, because God takes our broken lives, our miserable and depressed existence, and he changes it into something beautiful. He restores our joy, the spring in our step, and he gives us a hope for the future. And so I'm here today to speak as somebody who's simply addicted to God's love. And I love to share his love with others, so that makes me a pusher. So now let's stop for a minute, okay? I know when most people think about God, his love isn't the first thing that they think about. Okay, most people hear about God, the God of the Bible, and the first thing that they think of is law and judgment. Okay, you know, as I was growing up, that's what I thought of. I thought about law and judgment because that's what people talk to me about God. Okay, but they got it wrong. I got it wrong. I used to shame Christians. I used to mock Christians because I thought that they were just people who were submitting to this horrible judgment and horrible law. But it wasn't until later that I actually started to learn about Jesus. And when I started to learn about Jesus, I started to learn some of the things that he said. And one of the things that he said is you can read it in John chapter 3 if you want to. It's verse 17. Jesus said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God didn't send Jesus to condemn us, but to save us. And once I realized that, I realized I had this completely wrong picture of God. See, I, like many other people, had this crazy notion that when God sent Jesus, he was just looking for some more evidence in order to judge us. Let me think that over. God created the world, he sees everything, and yet he needed more evidence? He knows the intentions of our heart. You know, how silly is it to think that God needed more evidence to compile some judgment against us? Hey, we've all sinned. We've all messed up. God gave us laws. We broke them. It's just that simple. I don't know anyone who can honestly say that they've never lied or had terrible thoughts about somebody else or dishonored their parents. We're all guilty. That much is clear. So why in the world would God need to send Jesus to judge us? It doesn't make any sense. So then God clearly had a different agenda when he sent Jesus. Now, Jesus liked to tell stories to explain things. And here's one of the stories that Jesus shared about God and the way that God operates. And it's a little bit of a long story, but hang in there with me, okay? So Jesus is telling this story. He said, there was a man who had two sons. Now, I completely forgot earlier to introduce my own sons. Karen, I do have two boys. They're 10 and 12, Caleb and Luke, and they're great sons. So I can identify with this story a little bit. So there's this man who has two sons. And the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Okay, his dad's still alive, and he's saying, "Give me my inheritance." Essentially what this son is saying is, "Dad, you're dead to me." Okay, this is in Luke 15, if you want to read it, Luke 15. So the younger son says, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So his father does this audacious deed, and he actually gives him his inheritance. And says, so he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together and all he had, and he set off to a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Okay, this guy lives under the house of his wealthy father. He takes half of his father's wealth. He takes his share of the inheritance, and he goes out and he lives wildly, and he wastes it, and it's all gone, and he finds himself feeding pigs for a living. And he was so hungry, it says, that he wanted to eat the mess, the slop that the pigs were eating. But he wasn't even allowed to do that. Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." He said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to him, and he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Friends, that's how God sees each and every one of us. At some point in our lives, we've all been like that son who didn't want to live in his father's house, who went and tried to live his own way. You know, that's our story. Pride, brokenness, loneliness, humiliation sometimes. And for most of us, we know it. But what so many of us don't yet know is that God's like the father in this story, waiting for his son to come back. It said while his son was still a long way off, that means he was looking for him. He was waiting for him. And he's filled with compassion and he runs to him. And when he gets to him, he doesn't care that he's covered in pig filth clothing. He's just glad that he's home. You know, this is a very famous story, but if you've been in a church before or you've read your Bible, you're probably familiar with it. And it's usually called the story of the prodigal son. But in truth, this story isn't really about the son at all. See, sons do this kind of thing all the time. We screw up, we rebel, we run away, we waste years living out these foolish desires. But fathers rarely do what this one did. This is really the story of an astounding father. He kept watch for a son. He didn't give up. He wrapped him up in his arms. He didn't care what he'd been doing. He was just glad he came home. Naturally, those aren't the things that he wanted for his son. But at that moment, he didn't care how he'd been living. He was just happy that he came home. So do you hear any judgment in that story? I don't. He didn't look at him and say, "Son, your clothes are filthy. Get out of my house till you clean yourself up and then we can talk." He didn't say, "Son, you wasted my money. You can come back when you've re-earned it. Or you can work double time to pay for it." No, he called his servants and he said, "Bring my son clean clothes and new shoes. And put the family ring back on his finger so everybody knows that he's my son. Let everybody know my son's back." And he threw a party because he was so excited. He killed the fatted calf. That means he brought out the best thing that he could lay out. He grilled the best spread that he had. There's no judgment. It's just overwhelming joy. And that is how Jesus described God the Father. So maybe God isn't this terrible judge that so many of us think he is. Now you guys, I shared about my sons, okay? I've got two sons, just like in the story. And I know that as a father, it's often my job to set the standard, to lay down the rules. So fathers often get this reputation for being tough, but tough doesn't mean unloving. I love my sons. That's why I give them rules. It's why I give them boundaries, to protect them. And it's why I correct them. It's for the same reason. That's why God gave us the Ten Commandments. But when we look at this story, when we look at the son who's ready to come back, who admits his mistakes, see, the father didn't need to correct him anymore. The fact that he was coming back was proof to the father that this guy knew he'd messed up and he knew he could return to his father. He was expecting a little bit of mercy, hoping for a little bit of mercy. But he got way, way more. See, the son didn't understand how good his father was. He never expected the welcome that he got. Nobody would expect that. But God opens his heart up to people in ways that are simply crazy. And in comparison, the thought that God would talk to us isn't nearly as crazy as the thought that God just so quickly forgives us with no strings attached. But that's the main point of the Bible. God is like the father in that story who loves his sons and his daughters so much that he can't wait for them to come back to him. Maybe he's waiting for one of you today. I want to tell you something. There's nothing he can't forgive except the person who doesn't want to be forgiven. You know, in our years in Germany, we've run into so many people who had just lived their lives full of sin, lived messed up, crazy lives. But then they turned to God for forgiveness, and it didn't matter how bad they'd been or what they'd done. God was waiting for them, waiting to welcome them home, just like in the story, just like the father in the story, who radically changed his son's life the minute his son came back to him. That's what God wants to do to our lives when we come to him. You know, I think about a lot of stories when I read this passage, when I read this story. I think about a lot of people, those prodigals who ran off and who came back as a mess, but brought themselves to God and said, I'm back, forgive me, change me. And there was one lady in one of the churches we helped start in Dresden. She had lived a wild, crazy life. Her family was as messed up as could be. She was living on her own from the point that she was 14 years old. She was just had this hatred, this desire for revenge against the world. Somebody invited her into a church where she heard the message that I'm sharing with you today, and she gave her life to Jesus. And what I'm telling you the truth when I say she physically looked different a few months after deciding to follow Jesus. Because walking around with a constant smile on your face for a couple of weeks will just change your entire demeanor. She was like a new person. I think of another guy, a friend of mine named Peter. Peter showed up in our church for the first time he'd ever been to church in his life. He walked into our church. He's 42 years old. Peter has a crazy background, a crazy story. He had been arrested for drug charges 21 times. He was hooked on everything that you could imagine, and he hadn't been able to get a job since before the Berlin Wall came down. Okay, so he hadn't worked in a long time because in Germany they do criminal background checks like we do here, and every prospective employer would do that, and they would look at it and say, uh-uh, buddy, not going to happen. And so Peter walked into our church, and you know, he had always just kind of assumed that God didn't exist, but if he did, he didn't care about him. Or that God didn't care about Peter. That was what Peter thought. And so Peter came in, and he listened to a message that I was preaching, and he sat down in his seat, and he prayed this simple prayer, if you even want to call it that. Listen to the message. He said, God, if you really exist and you really care about me, would you give me a job? 2 weeks later, Peter got a job. And Peter came back to church. And he was all excited about this God who could move in his life. And then he did something else. He said, God, well, you help me with that one. Could you help me with my drug problem? And then suddenly Peter just didn't have a desire for drugs anymore. It was gone instantly. So he keeps coming back to the church, and he keeps letting God change his life. And every problem that he encounters, he simply brings it to God and says, hey, can you help me with this? Time after time after time again. Peter became a whole new man. He was riding his bike 30 kilometers each way to get to our church. Every Sunday morning, he'd be the first one there. He was so excited about what God could do in his life. He said, I love this church. I love what God is doing. Mike, can I come early and mop the floors just so it's nice when everybody else gets here? After riding my bike 30 kilometers to get here through the hills? He was a new man. He got a total fresh start on life because he realized that this God was there for him, was willing to accept him, a God he'd never thought about. There's another young guy I think about, a guy who hated the idea of God so much. I'm going to call him Frank. Frank went to church a few times when he was younger, and he had such this misconception of God that he said to his friend who invited him to church, he said, I would rather die than go to church. Strong words, but came out of, shows you the emotion that he had. And then so he was off at a concert one time, and a group of friends were out there, and everybody had left except him and this one other guy, the guy that had invited him to church. And he said, listen, can you give me a ride? The other guys left without me. And he said, well, I can give you a ride, but I'm going to church on my way home. You're going to have to come to church with me. And then, you know, rather die than go to church, it was like, well, I could either walk 60 kilometers or I could go to church for an hour. And so he said, well, all right, I'll go to the church with you. That day changed his life. He discovered that God the Father was waiting for him, waiting to forgive him, waiting to accept him, and it changed his whole perspective on God in one service. The next week he came back, decided to become a follower of Jesus, became a whole new man. And he was suddenly so excited about Jesus and so excited about the church that he started bringing one person after another into the church with him. Because he saw how this God that he had about God, he had these complete misconceptions. And then suddenly, he got a clear picture of who God was, and it changed everything. And I could stand here all day and tell you one story after another about somebody who had a misconception about who God was and then got that perspective right, and it changed their life. Think about Manuel, another young guy who wanted to commit suicide, but he gave God a chance, and God changed his life. I think about another guy that we know that all he knew was rules. All he thought was, you know, God is just upset with me, angry with me all the time because I can't seem to follow all of his rules, and he thought he was going to be judged. And then he realized he wasn't, and he became so full of joy, he just got goofy. You know, I've got a picture here. You guys can see it behind me. One of the last churches that we helped plant was in a little town of 300 people in the hills of central Bavaria. This church was just packed to the gills with one person after another who had heard about a God of judgment and a God of law all their lives. But they walked into a renovated barn, like you're sitting this morning in an elementary school, where they heard a message about a God who can change their lives, a God who wants to forgive them. And it changed them in such a way that they came back, that they brought friends. Within a few months, the church started to grow. Within a year, there were over 60 people in a town that had never had a church before. At the present moment, they're looking for a bigger building because they can't fit anymore. You can see on the bottom picture, they moved out of the room that was upstairs into a warehouse across the street because there was simply no more room. That kind of forgiveness that God offers us, that kind of love that he offers us, it's overwhelming. And when we experience it, it's like something we couldn't have imagined before that. And then seeing other people experience that, it makes you feel the same way all over again, completely overwhelmed once again. And God just offers to give it to us. See, love's only a love when it comes as a gift. If I have if I go over to a friend's house for dinner and then at the end of the night they slip me a bill, wasn't really a friend. God doesn't want to make us pay. He doesn't want to make us get on our knees and beg. He doesn't want to make us work off a debt. He just wants us to come home to him. So think about it this morning. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins, if you've never come back to God and said, "Forgive me, Father," if you've never just laid yourself out before him and asked him for mercy, then you're like the son in the story, and you don't know what you're missing. So I'm telling you, today is your chance to come home, to turn your life around, to have your life turned around by an ever-loving Father. And so I want to ask you a real simple, couple of simple questions. If you've been living away from God and you saw him running to you with his arms open wide, would you reject him? Would you prefer to keep living in your pig-smelling clothing? Just so that you can say, "Hey, at least they're the clothes I picked out." Would you rather have the beautiful, clean ones that your Father wants to give you? Would you rather keep living on an empty stomach, looking for things to fill you up that are never going to do the job? Or do you want to come to the party that your Father is waiting to throw you? Do you want to be alone? Or do you want to come home and have that family symbol put back on your finger? Do you want to accept the invitation to be a part of his family? You know, the offer is so clear. And God's motives are so clear. They're so amazing that most people simply refuse to believe it. But this story isn't my story. The story that I'm sharing with you is how Jesus talked about God. God is truly an ever-loving Father. He's not the father you did or didn't have here on the earth. He's more. His love is amazing. It's life-altering. It brings freedom. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings wholeness. It brings more. More than you can imagine. And that's why Jesus told that story on that day. And that's why I'm telling this story today. Because I felt like maybe there'd be somebody here today that needed to hear that story. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're watching online. And you needed to know that. God isn't looking to judge you. He's just waiting for you to come home. I want to speak to one quick thought here. You know, maybe somebody is sitting here today and they're saying, you know, how can I know that God is there if I can't see him? I hear that all the time. How can I believe in God? I can't see him. Well, you know, it takes a confident person to admit their limitations. And we have limitations as humans. Our eyes only see what reflects light. But not everything reflects light. Smells, electricity, wind. You can't see those things, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. If you want to know if God is there, just call out to him. Just call out and say, God, reveal yourself to me. Like my friend Peter sat and said, God, if you really exist and if you care about me, would you fill in the blank? He'll answer you, and he'll amaze you. So that's where I'm going to stop today. I'm not going to share a lot longer. We share this message in Germany. We share this message in the States. We go all over the place. And I find that everywhere we go, there's people who want to react. There's people who say, I've missed it. That was my story. I missed it for years. I had all the wrong conceptions about God. And maybe that's your story. So I want to give you a chance today. If you all would just do one another the honor of just closing your eyes for a minute, just bowing your heads for a minute. And we do that just so everybody kind of has a little bit of private space so they can pray. But if you heard this message and you're saying, I need to come home to my Father, then you can just pray real simply and say, Father, forgive me. I'm ready to come home. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to just look me in the eyes for a minute, just so somebody knows. Just to say, hey, I need to come home. I want that. Awesome. Awesome. So just pray real simply and say, God, forgive me for living without you. I need you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus coming to tell this story, to make it clear that I can come to you, for making a way for me to be near to you, Lord. So God, I ask you, would you welcome me into your family? I need a relationship with you. I need you to change my life. Come into my heart today. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, for those who just looked in my eyes this morning, I want to encourage you. It's a start. The step you took today is a start, but God wants to continue to work in your life. He wants to continue to change you. But you got to let him. So just continue to come to this church. Continue to stay in a relationship with God. Continue to talk to other people who've already had that experience and who can share their story with you, because their story is going to help you live out a new story. So I want to encourage you guys with that today. And listen, we're going to have a little bit of prayer time this morning just as I finish up. And if you want to come and have somebody pray for you, we'd be glad to do that. Your pastor's here. I'm going to ask Kara to come forward as well, just as we pray for you guys, for whatever is going on in your life and you need prayer for. Hey, that's what the church is for. We're family. We hold each other up. And we encourage each other with the things that we've been through. So I would encourage anybody that needs it to come forward for prayer. Maybe you say, hey, I need freedom from depression like people in the story that you told. Or hey, I got a drug problem I need some help with. Or maybe you say, you know what? I need boldness to help share this same story with my friends. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Then just come forwards, okay? We'd be happy to pray for you guys. So thank you again for the invitation. Thanks for hearing our heart for Germany, and also, more importantly, just being willing to listen to a guy you don't even know share a story about God. But remember who shared it first. This is Jesus' words, okay? So I'm going to hand the microphone over here and just let you close up, if that's all right.
Hallelujah. I am just so grateful for that message. I just love that story, and I know that is the Father's heart, is that he just loves us so much. And that it's not about judgment, and it's not about condemnation, but it's just the Father's heart to love, and love abundantly, extravagantly, just cloaking us in that new wardrobe and in the family ring, like he was saying. It's just such a beautiful experience to know that you can be welcomed home into the Father's home. And so I'm going to continue with what Mike said. Let's just have a time of prayer. And if that's something that you need, you know, we know that there's a heart's cry for more of God and empowerment. They said, like, for boldness to combat the strength of an addiction in your life. Come forward. Have us lay hands on you and pray for you, that receiving of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's power, because we do nothing of our own strength and nothing of our own power, but only through his enabling and empowerment. So come forward for prayer. Let's take a few minutes just to be in the presence of God, because I know that he's here, and he seeks to touch each and every one in a very unique way, because we're all different. We're all doing a different walk. We all have different needs and different desires and different brokenness. But God, in his wonderful ability, can meet each and every need. So don't leave here today. If you have a need that you need to bring before the Lord, come forward. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name, amen. The altars are open for prayer.